Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start another series called Recover All. We all need recovery. Whole people in a broken world. Amen? We need to be that whole people. And if we have issues, we need to get them taken care of. Because it slows us down. It makes us lack in faith. Because we think that because I have this issue, I can't do these things. And that's right where the devil wants you. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can be seated. The Bible clearly states that all have sinned. Is there anybody here that's never sinned? Don't raise your hand and lie. I answered that for you, didn't I? But you know what, folks? It's our nature. It's my nature. It's your nature to sin. The flesh, okay? Now, I don't believe in this here. I sin every day, you know, kind of Christian life. Because if you sin every day, you got a problem. All right? So, you know, we slip up every now and then. We can go into God and say, God, forgive me. But I don't believe that we sin, that we are living the kind of Christian life that God wants us to live if we're sinning every day. All right? But we have this, our flesh has this nature to want to do things and that are displeasing to God. And none of us have obtained what we want to, okay? But we're working on it. And because of sin, we all hurt ourselves. We've all hurt ourselves at one time or another. We've all hurt other people at one time or another. And others have hurt us also. You believe that? But this means that each of us, here we are, each of us needs repentance and recovery. And we need it in order to live our lives the way that God intended us to live. You see, when Israel returned from captivity in the Old Testament, their first project was to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? That was their first project that God wanted done. And that part of the story is found in the book of Ezra. But see, he records this rebuilding project, which took 20 years, and it symbolized their restored relationship with God. Rebuilding the temple symbolized their restored relationship with the Lord. But 70 years after the completion of the temple, the walls of Jerusalem still laid in ruins. Now, hear what I'm saying. They rebuilt the temple. It took them 20 years. 70 years after rebuilding the temple, the walls still laid in ruins. All right? And that's where the book of Nehemiah, thank you, comes in. All right? Here's a people, folks, who have been able to reestablish repentance, the temple. But they have been unable to reestablish recovery, which is the walls. And as such, they are a type of those in the church who are saved but still broken. Okay? Now, you see, people want to look at what we call standards, rules. Folks, these are things that help you. They're not things to harm you. And there's a reason why Jerusalem needed to rebuild the walls. Okay? There's a reason why God wants these things in our lives. So, this repentance of the temple and the recovery of the walls is the type of the church today that are saved but still broken in their lives. And they have been fouled up by accident, dented by disobedience, smashed by sin, ruined by rebellion, or injured through ignorance. All right? Now, they may well have been forgiven for their foolish seeds of sin that they've sown before Christ. But the harvest of sowing to the flesh does not disappear overnight. You follow me? There is still some rubble laying around. All right? When these walls were laying around, that stuff was scattered all over the place. There was easy access to the people of God. The rubble is still laying around. And yes, folks, salvation does solve the problem of our relationship with God. But no, it does not dissolve all the problems in our lives. See, new life in Christ opens the doorway to the solution, but only by walking through that door and pursuing that way with those problems finally reach resolution. Now, you have undoubtedly heard the expression, time heals all wounds. You ever heard that? Three of you? Unfortunately, it's not true. Come on. If I had some honesty here tonight, I could probably have some people stand up and say, there was something happened when I was 5 years old that still haunts me. Time does not heal all wounds. Sometimes time often makes things much worse. You see, wounds that are left unattended begin to fester, and they begin to spread infection throughout the entire body. And time only extends the pain if the problem is not dealt with. You see, folks, we need recovery, or we just repeat the cycle over and over again. Let me give you a little illustration. There's one day a father was trying to take an afternoon nap, and his little boy kept bugging him, saying, Daddy, I'm bored. So his father, trying to make up a game, found a picture of the world globe in the newspaper, and he ripped it in about 50 pieces and said, Son, this is a puzzle, and I want you to put it back together. He laid down to finish his nap, thinking he would get at least an hour or two of sleep. But in about 15 minutes, the little boy woke him up saying, Daddy, I've got it finished. It's all put together. And he says, You're kidding me. I got a preacher over here. Amen. Let it be so. So, his dad said, You're kidding me. And he knew that his son didn't know all the positions of the nations. He knew that. So the dad asked, How did you do that? And the son replied, Dad, there was a picture of a person on the back of the page. And when I got my person put together, the world looked just fine. You see, folks, it's amazing how much better the world looks when your person is put together in the right way. Amen? See, we're going to talk in this series about how to handle the hurts and habits and the hang-ups and the mess-ups. And Isaiah 57, verse 18 says, I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyways. I will lead them. I will comfort those who mourn. Now, this promise contains four parts of the recovery that God wants to accomplish in our lives tonight, folks. You see, if you've been hurt, God wants to heal you. If you are confused, God wants to lead you. If you can't change, if you feel that you can't change, God wants to help you change. And if you feel no one understands, God wants to comfort you. And the fact is that life is tough. It is tough. And we live in an imperfect world. And we're hurt by other people. and we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people. And everyone, folks, everyone in this room needs some form of recovery unless you have lived a perfect life. But if you have not lived a perfect life, if you've ever been hurt, if you've ever had a hang-up or a habit that you'd like to get rid of, I'm telling you tonight, you need recovery. Now, the good news is this. Regardless of your problem you need recovery from, whether it is emotional, financial, relational, spiritual, sexual, or anything else, folks, the steps to recovery are always the same. Many people are familiar with the classic 12-step recovery program from Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are over some 500,000 groups and 20 million North Americans, probably way more than that now, every week. And it has helped many people. But did you know that the Bible is the ultimate guide to the principles of recovery? You see, when Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, he began by stating 8 ways to be happy in the Beatitudes. From a conventional viewpoint, most of these statements do not make sense. And in fact, they sound like contradictions. But when you fully understand what Jesus is saying, you'll realize that these 8 principles are God's road to recovery, wholeness, spiritual growth, Christian maturity. And we want to study these 8 principles through the acronym of the word recovery. And so here to start with, again, I'm going to read Matthew 5, verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The R in the principle is realize, folks, here it is. Realize first that you're not God. Okay? Let's say it tonight. I am not God. All right. You see, I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong things, that my life is unmanageable. All right? And maybe that's why you're here. Maybe you realize my life is unmanageable. I just mess things up. So the R in recovery stands for realize. The first step in my journey to wholeness is to realize that I am not God and admit that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do wrong. I must admit that my life, with me in control, is simply unmanageable. Do you ever stay up late when you know you need to sleep? Do you ever eat more calories than your body needs? Do you ever feel you ought to exercise but don't? Do you ever know the right thing to do but don't do it? Do you ever know something is wrong but you do it anyways? Have you ever known you should be unselfish but you acted in a selfish way instead? Have you ever tried to control some people or situation by your words, actions, or moods and found out that it only made things worse? Does this sound vaguely familiar to you? You see, folks, if you answer is yes to any of these questions, then welcome to the human race. You see, we're all in need of recovery from something. Romans 7, verse 15 says, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to. Let's try this again. I do what I don't want to what I hate. I know perfectly well that I am doing what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws I'm breaking. But I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It is sin inside of me that is stronger than I that makes me do these evil things. You see, this is the first step to understand the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is sin. We also need to understand the consequences of of the problem. And finally, we need to discover the cure for the problem. The cause of my problem is my sinful nature. And the Bible has a word for this tendency towards self-defeating behavior, and it is sin. Sin. My sinful nature, folks, gets me in all kinds of problems. I do things that are not good for me, and I don't do things that are good for me. I respond the wrong way when I'm hurt, and it just increases the hurt rather than lessening the hurt. I try to fix problems, and often when I finish, they are worse than when I started. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So, behind all of my problems is a sinful attitude. I want to be God. Right? I want to decide what is right and what is wrong. I want to call the shots and make my own rules. I want to put myself at the center of the universe, be my own boss, and live my own way. It feels good, then I want to do it. I don't want anyone else telling me what to do with my life or how I should act. You see, that's called playing God. Come on. So what I'm really saying is this: I want to control. And the more insecure you are, the more you are driven to control. You want to control yourself, you want to control other people, and control your environment. Once you want to do all these things, you want to control yourself, control other people, control your environment, and you are driven to do this. That is called playing God, and it is mankind's oldest problem. Control is the real issue. So how do we play God? We try to control our image. We want to control what we think people think of us. So we wear masked, and we deny our feelings, hoping to impress people. Why am I afraid to tell you who I am? Because if I am honest and you don't like me, me is all I've got. The next thing we try to do is we try to control other people. You see, parents try to control kids. Kids try to control parents. Wives try to control husbands. Husbands try to control wives. Friends try to control their friends. Are there office politics where you work? Or workplace politics where you work? People try to control other people in the different settings that they're in. Do countries try to control other countries? See, we use lots of tools to attempt to manipulate each other. We use guilt. We use fear. We use praise. We use the silent treatment. We use anger. We use moods. And the list goes on and on and on. Because we are trying to control other people. We try to control our problems. You see, we're quite good at this. We use phrases like this: "I can handle it." How about this one? "It's really not a problem. I'm fine." Or, "I don't need any help." And then we get mad when somebody doesn't help us. I can quit anytime. I'll work it out on my own. See, that's just somebody trying to play God. But the more you try to fix the problem yourself, the worse it gets. Come on. How about this one? We try to control our pain. Have you ever thought how much time you spend running from pain? Trying to avoid it, denying it, escape it, reduce it, postpone it. You see, people try to postpone pain in many different ways. We try to postpone pain. Try that again 5 times. We try to postpone our pain by eating or not eating, by getting drunk or smoking or doing drugs, or by getting in and out of relationships. Or you develop some kind of compulsive habit to try to control your pain. Or you become abusive, angry, critical, judgmental, or depressed to hide your pain. I feel God is speaking to people here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. Folks, let's be honest with ourselves. Come on. We need to be honest with ourselves. You see, there are many ways we try to control our pain. Now, what are the different consequences of playing God? Number one, let's look at fear. When I try to control everything, I get afraid. Afraid that somebody's going to find out who I really am. That I am a fake. And that I really don't believe I have it all together. They may find out that I'm not perfect. So I don't want to let anybody get real close to me because they'll find out that I'm scared inside. And so we fake it and we fill our lives with fear and we're afraid that somebody is going to reject us or not like us because they do not really know what we're really like. We think they only like an image of me. And if they really knew what I was like, they would not like me. See, Genesis 3, verse 10 says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." That was the first time I heard God calling for me. And because I didn't want God to see who I was, I hid myself. And I realized I was naked. I was in God's eyes, I was open before the Lord. But I didn't really want him to know, so I hid myself. You see, man always tries to cover themselves too. And it's not what God had intended. Only God can cover us. And that's why there must be the shedding of blood. You see, folks, God wants us to be open before him and say, "Here I am, God." As David said, "Search me, O Lord." And then we get frustration when we try to play God. Have you ever seen the game played at the carnival with the mallet and you slam one thing down and another thing pops up? Huh? Isn't that life? You go here and you slam this situation. Oh, I got that. Oh. We're going to go over here and get this one. And we just keep running around trying to smash things down in our life. We whack down one compulsion and another compulsion pops up. We whack down one problem and another problem pops up. We whack down one conflict and another one pops up. It is so frustrating because you can't get them all knocked down at the same time. So the frustration you feel is the symptom of a deeper problem that you have not dealt with. You are not God. And when you try to control things, it does not work. Romans 7, verse 21, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Psalms 32, 3, there was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. Another thing that happens when we try to be God is fatigue. You see, folks, it's tiring playing God. Denial takes an incredible amount of energy. We try to hide our pain by keeping busy because we do not like the way we feel when we slow down. So we run from pain by constantly being on the go with work, hobbies, sports, and even church. So ask yourself, what is it that I am really running from? Psalms 32, 4. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day. Until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. Don't let it wear you out, folks. The next thing that gets to us is failure when you try to be God. When you try to play God, that is one job description you're guaranteed to fail at. You need to be honest. You need to open up about your weakness, your faults, your failures. And in fact, folks, our church needs to be a safe place where real people can talk about real problems, real hurts, real hang-ups, real habits, and not be blown away by our judgmental attitude. Come on. We are a family of fellowship strugglers. There is not a person in this room that has it all together. We're all weak in different areas, and we need each other. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Basically, there are two things every human being needs to learn. There is a God, and you're not him. Come on. Because I am not God, trying to control myself, other people, and situations completely wears me out. God did not create me to be general manager of the universe. That position's already filled. Psalm 6, verse 6, I am worn out with pain. Every night my pillow is wet with tears. Think about that. You see, throughout life, we all learn various coping systems that seems to work for a time when we need to get attention or block out pain. But see, as the years progress, these same ideas confuse and cloud our view of the truth, our perception of ourselves, and our expectations of those around us. And the longer we hold on to them, the more unrealistic and distorted they become, and eventually growing into denial. Jeremiah 6, verse 14, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. 2 Peter 2, 19, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption, for you are a slave to whatever controls you. Think about that. You are a slave to whatever controls you. You see, folks, unfortunately, it is human nature that we never change until our pain becomes greater than the fear of change. So we do not change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat and the things start falling apart. God whispers to us our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. It is a warning light on the dashboard of life that let it motivate you to get help and face the issues. So what is the cure for our problems? The very first step to recovery is to realize that I'm not God and that I am powerless to control myself, let alone anything else. I have to admit I have a problem before I can get help. 2 Corinthians 1, 9, we felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God. You see, the Bible teaches that in admitting my weakness, I find strength. And that is exactly the opposite of what our culture teaches us, folks. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, admitting I am not God means I recognize three important facts of life. See, maturity comes when you recognize these three facts. Number one, admit that I am powerless to change my past. It hurt. I still remember it. But all the resentment in the world is not going to change your past. It's not going to change it. Number two, admit I am powerless to control other people. I am responsible for my actions, not those of other people. All my gimmicks won't control their lives. Number three, I admit I am powerless to cope with my harmful behaviors. Good intentions and willpower are not enough. I need a source of power beyond myself. I need God because he made me to need him. You don't have to be embarrassed. That's the way God made us, folks. He made us to need him. James 4, verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So what is grace? Grace is the power to change. Grace is the power God gives me to make the changes in my life that I want to make. And more importantly, he wants me to make. He wants you to make. And there is only one way to get grace, folks, and God gives it to the humble. What needs changing in your life? What hurt, what hang up, or what habit have you been trying to ignore? You see, it is hard for most of us to admit that we have a problem because it's very humbling. You see, folks, Asbury Revival started because somebody got up there and started admitting their problems, confessing their problems. That's where it started, because people realize that takes courage and that God moves on people to be able to do that when you seek him. So it's hard for most of us to admit that we have a problem because it's so humbling. And it's saying, folks, I don't have it all together. As much as I'd like everybody to think I do, I don't have it all together. And when you tell that to somebody, they're not going to be surprised. Why? Because they know it. God knows it, and you know it. So just you just need to be honest and admit it. And then when you admit it, then God can go to work on your behalf. We need each other. And when somebody talks to you about a weakness, that takes courage. And it needs to be in a church that is loving and says, I'm going to support you in every way I can. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be there for you. We need each other. Amen? And I believe when we understand this and we begin to confess our faults and we begin to ask God and ask the brothers and sisters in this church to help each other, that's when we're going to see great, great revival. Let's stand here in the house of the Lord. Take this home and chew on it. You can go online and listen to it again if you want. But folks, ask God, Lord, Help me. Give me the courage that I need to be open before you. Folks, God sees it anyways, okay? But he wants us to admit it. God knew Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. He knew it. He knew right where they were. But God wanted to hear him say, "Here I am." Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.